which His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we have been there, His grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Oh, praise God, praise God, oh, praise God.
Let's just raise our hands and sing it that way again. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. This evening, let's sing it that way again together. He's worthy of our praise. Oh, praise God. Oh, yes, Lord. We worship you, Jehovah. Oh, praise God. We praise God. Praise God. Praise tonight, isn't he? Amen. God bless you. Good to be in service again together. And got several prayer requests that we want to bring before the Lord. Want to remember Sister Christy in prayer for unspoken prayer request. And then also my daughter Ruth, she's got kind of an upset stomach tonight. Want to remember her in prayer. And then Brother Nathaniel Duvall, he had his wisdom teeth removed yesterday. Everything went okay, but it was a little bit more invasive than they were expecting it to be. So I want to remember him in prayer just for a quick recovery. And then my sister-in-law Tina said, I had quite a few tests done recently. I got my results back this afternoon. Every test came back a good report. Praise the Lord. So we want to praise the Lord for that. And how many of you has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring to the Lord with an uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Joel, would you just come this evening and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests? We serve a prayer-answering God, and He's a present help in times of trouble.
humbled to be here together, Lord God, just gathered with people of like-minded faith, Lord God, that are just encouragement one to another, Lord. We just take strength, Lord, and the faith of our brothers and sisters, Lord. We come here now, Lord, on behalf of those brothers and sisters that have raised up their hands with a need, Lord God, and these prayer requests, Lord, for Brother Nathaniel Duvall, Lord, just after a surgery, God, just know that, Lord, it's a struggle to get back to health, no matter how young you are. Lord, for just the health of all the people here, Lord God, spiritual and otherwise, Lord, just bring these all before you, God. Pray, God, for the service here tonight. Whatever Brother Nathan might have for us, Lord, help us come prepared and expecting, Lord, just ready to receive, Lord God, your blessings. Just thank you for it. Pray it all in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight, Brother Joel. Go ahead and have this if you want.
Oh, there are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, cleansed and made them clean. Oh, it's burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. Thank God I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Well, though these people may not learn it be no boast of worldly fame, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name, and are telling now both far and wide His power is yet the same. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. One of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. Yes, I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, they were gathered in the upper room, all praying in His name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Power for service came. Now what He did for them that day, He'll do for you the same. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Let's stand and sing it. One of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. Yes, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. Sing it to Him tonight. Somebody's hand while we sing it. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Welcome, my brother, sing this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin. It will start the joy bells ringing. It'll keep your soul on flame. Oh, it's burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. Yes, Lord. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad. You one of those who believe Malachi 4, 5, and 6? I'm one of them. Revelation 10, 7. Luke 17, 30. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. Yes, I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Yes, come, my brother, sing this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin. It will start the joy bells ringing. It'll keep your soul on flame. Oh, it's burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad I can say, yes, Lord, I'm one of them. Thank you, Jesus. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say, one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Yes, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. One of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
Amen. God bless you. Good to be in service again together. Worship the Lord in spirit and truth, and feel His presence here amongst us. We're blessed.
Amen.
Amen. We're blessed. We get spoiled sometimes, but there's some people that would give everything they have just to feel that presence that we get to feel here so often. Amen. God bless you. If you would, turn with me to Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. And we want to pick up again. So we've been looking at Moses for the last few weeks on this thought of speak the word. Exodus chapter 13, we'll start tonight with verse 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of Egypt. That word harnessed means in battle array or arrayed for battle. It's used twice in the book of Joshua and once in the book of Judges, that Hebrew word, but it's usually used as the word armed is the English word that's used there in the Old Testament. But it says they went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again tonight, we just ask that you'd be in our midst. Lord, as we feel your presence here, we just want to make you welcome. Lord, we want to give you preeminence in the service, Father. Whatever you would have us to say or to do, Lord, may you just help me to yield to you tonight. Lord, be with each word that's spoken, each song that is sang. Father, may it be for your glory. May it be pleasing to you. Lord, we're a needy people, and no doubt there are many needs that are represented here tonight. But Lord, we know that you're a way maker. And Lord, that you're able to come on the scene, Lord, and minister to each of these needs tonight. Father, Lord, may you just help me to go down a path that would be of your leading, and may it be something that would encourage the people for the circumstances and the hours that they're facing, Lord. Well, I just ask that you'd be with us, be the continuation of the service, all that is said, all that is done, Father. May you just have complete control, we pray. in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. We looked last week how that Pharaoh had finally let the children of Israel go, and plague after plague they had been faced with, but yet in the land of Goshen there was protection during the time of plague, during the time of trial and trouble. And those that were in Goshen, he had told them to leave after the death angel had passed through, and the firstborn of everyone in the land of Egypt, whether they were Egyptian, whether they were a servant, whether it was an animal, whatever it would be, all the firstborn died. It said even to those that were in the dungeons, their firstborn died. All those that hadn't got out and got into Goshen. And not only did you have to be in Goshen, but the blood had to be applied over the door. Amen. And now they've been let go from their bondage. A prophet came with a message and brought them out of the bondage that they had been in. Maybe you can have a similar testimony tonight. Maybe you were under bondage of some addiction or temptation. Maybe you were out in the world under some type of a bondage of that. Or maybe you was a good, what we would call a good nominal Christian, that you lived a pretty good life, but yet you were out there under the bondage of creeds and dogmas, and yet somehow light shone across your path, and you came out, and you received a deliverance through the message of a prophet. We can relate to this story this evening in the spiritual, where they were facing it in the natural. And as they come out of bondage and they're going into a land that's been promised them, a land that was said to be flowing with milk and honey, and they head out of Egypt that day, and no doubt looking with great anticipations to be there in a few days. And there was a quick route that would take them there in just a few days. Even with 2 million people, they probably could have been there in less than a week. Brother Bram says in one place they were just about a 3 days journey away. And they would have had to go just straight up through Philistine country. But as we read here in verse 17, it said, God led them not through the land of the Philistines, although that was near. Now, if you had been taking 2 million people on a trip and you went on Google Maps and it said this way is 3 days and this way is 40 years, I think we know, most of us, which direction we would pick. The quickest, fastest route is what we've been trained and geared for in this age. The quickest route somewhere, the quickest restaurant, the quickest supermarket, the quickest whatever it is. We just want to get there right away and get it over with. As I was listening to a tape driving down the road on the way home today, Brother Bram was talking about how we're rushing to and fro everywhere. He said, and where are we going? But it's our mentality to get from point A to point B, the quickest, direct, straight line way that we can go. But yet, God didn't take them that route, because he had a plan for them, and he knew what they were able to handle, and he knew if they went into the land of the Philistines and they faced a battle in the first few days there, that they would have turned back and said, forget it. No, we'd rather have the taskmaster's whips than to be killed with swords and spears. And they would have marched right back into Egypt. So even though it was the quick route, it wasn't the provided route. It wasn't God's plan. It wasn't God's will, and it wasn't God's way. And many times in our life, maybe God brings us around here and up over there and around the rocks and through the crevices and across the sands and across the seas, and we can look around and think, Lord, what are you doing? Why is this? You know, I thought I was going to be this, and I thought I was going to accomplish that, and I thought you would do this with my life, but yet he's still got it under control tonight, and he's still taking us in his path, even though his path may not be the path that we wanted, maybe wouldn't be the path that we chose if we had the option, but yet God's ways are always perfect. Amen. He didn't lead them on the quick and easy route, because he knew they wouldn't be able to handle that path. But he takes them around, and they wander around and around and around the wilderness for 40 years. No doubt if you would have told them as they were leaving, you know it's going to be 40 years before you get there, they would have laughed and said, no. No, Moses just came back from there. It's just a few days' journey, and oh my, it's going to be glorious. I hear what type of a land it is, and we're going to have our own land. We're not going to have to serve taskmasters, and oh, it's just going to be a wonderful life. And if you would have told them that it was going to be 40 years, they might have gave up right there. But God doesn't always show us the whole picture. If God would have showed you every trial and everything you were going to have to go through, every tribulation, every test, every scar, every sickness, every trial that your family would face, every persecution, and he just laid it out there and said, look, here's what the next 40 years hold for you. You might have ran like a coward, But he doesn't shine the light all the way down to the end of your path. He just gives us enough light to follow him a step at a time.
Amen.
I'm thankful that he does it that way. Brother Branham even said that God doesn't show his prophets everything. He said, there sat Jacob, and here he is worried that Joseph is dead, and God didn't show him what had happened, but he worries about him for years and years and years before he finds out what's happening. There, Isaac was deceived by Jacob, even though being a prophet, but yet Jacob comes in and disguises himself, and God allowed it to happen because it wasn't supposed to be for Isaac to recognize it at that time. And sometimes in our life, God allows things to happen, and we think, why didn't you just show me that, Lord? Why didn't you show me that I was going to sit in traffic for 3 hours and I could have bypassed it? Maybe he was protecting you from a worse fate than sitting in traffic.
Right.
He's always got a better plan.
Amen.
Oh, my. And Brother Bram says it this way in Redemption and Completeness in Joy, 1954. He says, we're taking Israel now in their journey, coming out of Egypt, a type of the world, on their way to Palestine and the promised land. I think it's a beautiful thing. I just love it. Pretty near every week, he said, I sit down and I read through that book of Exodus if I can, or as much of it as I can. He said, I love it because it's a perfect type of the church today, the condition and how God is moving. Moved then, what he did in the natural then, he's doing in the spiritual now. So just as he knew that just coming out of Egypt, they weren't ready to face the Philistines yet. They wouldn't face them for many, many years. Even when Joshua goes in and begins to attack some of these cities, it takes a while before they really go in and begin to fight the Philistines. But yet God had a plan and a purpose, and he allows this to work out in his timing. And he doesn't just let them go through a flowery bed of ease for 40 years, but he begins to test them, and he begins to allow things to happen to them because he's checking to see how much confidence he can have in them, what their victory really is. You know, I was supposed to go out to eat with the family the other day and got stuck talking to several brothers and different things, and they sat in the car for about 45 minutes waiting on us, and we got out to the car, and the brother said, my, you're really testing our Holy Ghost this morning, aren't you? I said, yeah, I just wanted to make sure you was good and sanctified. Sometimes God allows things to happen to make sure that he can have confidence in us. You remember he began to test Job a little at a time and allow more things to happen and more things to happen. And God knew what Job would do. God knew that Job was able to withstand those things, but God wanted Job to know that he was able.
Amen.
God wanted Job to know. God knew that Job loved him, and that whatever came, whatever went, whatever he lost, whatever he went through, that he would still serve God. But Job didn't have quite that much confidence in himself. Like many of us, we think, oh, I'm too weak. Oh, I'm too little. Oh, I'm too insignificant. And God begins to turn up the heat a little bit, and we begin to realize, you know what? No matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter who leaves, no matter who criticizes, no matter who makes fun, I'm going to serve God.
Amen.
I'm going to stay with the truth. They can laugh and make fun. No doubt they laughed and made fun of Moses till they were in the blue in the face, thinking, goodness gracious, you must be crazy. That beautiful painted pillars and posts and door frame and you're going to take and rub lamb's blood all over that thing? What a mess. You're in some kind of a cult trying to get these people to follow you, and this is absolutely insane. But the next day, when their children and their cattle and their sheep and every relative and every friend and every neighbor that they had, their firstborn was laying dead, I wonder if they laughed and made fun of it then. But it's easy to laugh and make fun of when there's no consequences. But when consequences begin to take place, the picture changes a little bit. And God knew that the children of Israel, they weren't quite ready to face the Philistines yet. So instead of taking them the quickest, shortest route, he begins to take them on a journey that would take them years and years and years to accomplish. Brother Branham says in many places, he said, men aren't born men, they're born babies. And many times when we come to Christ, we think, oh my, I can run through a troop and leap over a wall, and no doubt we feel like it. And then a few weeks in, trial after trial and test after test, we think, oh Lord, I don't know if I'm cut out for this or not. And then we fast forward 10 years down the road, and we'd give anything to have those trials we had when we first came to it.
Amen.
Oh, we thought we were really being tried and tested. And then we realize it's a progressive testing. And it goes on gradually. Many of the things that you're facing today, maybe if you'd faced them right as soon as you accepted the Lord or right as soon as you came to the message, you would have ran away quickly. But God knew you weren't ready for that yet. So he had to kind of ease you into it. What is he doing? He's molding you and he's making you. And he's going to allow you to make yourself ready. And he does that sometimes by testing and by trials and by all kinds of persecutions and things that he doesn't do to us directly, but that he allows to take place. Why? Because it's molding us into his image. It's molding us more into a fellowship with him. Brother Branham said in the sermon, I know, he said, why does God allow trials to come? He said, why does he allow us to go through those sacred sands? He said, it's because it brings us into a closer fellowship with him. So as much as I don't like to get up and say, Lord, just bring on the trials. I'm not quite that dumb. But yet that's what it's going to take for me to get into a closer fellowship with him, then Lord, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get me into a condition. You know, he doesn't just save you and then instantly turn your rapture ready, but he's got to mold you and make you a little bit. Exodus chapter 13, verse 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Now, you just hold your place there in Exodus chapter 13. We'll be looking at several verses in chapter 13 and 14 tonight, but I just want to pause here briefly, and we won't go into it in too great of a detail. Maybe we will in another service, but I just want to mention briefly the significance of this. Joseph had already taken Jacob's bones back to Palestine, and he had asked Pharaoh if he could do it because he had promised his daddy. There he was laying with the crippled hip and dying. And we know the story how that he crosses his hands and gives the blessing to the youngest instead of the eldest. And he's laying there dying. And he makes Joseph to swear that when he leaves there, that he won't leave his bones laying there in Egypt, but that he'll take them back to Palestine. And so Joseph asked permission of Pharaoh to do this at the end of Genesis there in the last few chapters. And he takes Jacob's bones back to Palestine, and then he comes back and he makes his sons to swear that they won't leave his bones there when they come out of Israel, or when they come out of Egypt rather. And so Moses now is putting into action a way to fulfill this promise. And you can imagine, they carried those bones around for 40 years in the desert, wondering. They said, what on earth are you doing carrying this dead man around? But we've got a vow that we've got to fulfill. We've got a promise that we've got to fulfill. And they wanted to be taken and buried back in the burial place that Abraham had purchased for him and his wife Sarah. And they were buried there. And Brother Branham breaks in and tells us, there's not really an explanation that just writes it out as plain as A, B, and C in the scripture. But that's one thing that we're privileged with, of having a vindicated prophet in our age. He could kind of look between the lines a little bit and pull out things that everybody else had scratched their head and wondered, why this and why that? And why would Abimelech, go out there and pick 80 or 90 year old grandma when he could have any of the young virgins and things there in all the land? He could have had them. And he said, I want grandma to be my wife. And my God said, you're as good as a dead man, and you better go ask my servant Abraham to pray for you. Even though he had lied to Abimelech, he said, I won't answer anybody's prayer but that man's. You have him go pray for you. God isn't an Indian giver. When he gives a gift, he sticks with it. And there Abraham was with a prophetic gift. He said, Abimelech, you go have him pray for you. And a prophet of God looks at it, and it's not confusing to him at all, because he breaks in and he tells us that they had a body change. And it was a foretelling of our body change that we're going to have. And when you look at it through the eyes of a prophet, it begins to make sense, and the picture begins to get a little clearer. And the same thing had happened here when Abraham goes to buy this cave to have him and his wife buried in. And now Jacob says, don't you leave me down here, Joseph, but you take me back there to that burial plot of our families in Palestine. And they take him back and bury him. And then Joseph says, don't you leave me down here. And no doubt there was maybe some men assigned to carrying him around the desert for 40 years. They got tired of carrying that thing around. But Moses said, I don't care how tired you are or how silly you think it is. We're fulfilling this promise that we made to Joseph, that we wouldn't leave him down there. And they carry him back to Palestine and lay him there. Brother Branham said it's because that's where Job saw thought that the resurrection would take place. And on crucifixion day, it said many of the graves were opened. And many of the Old Testament saints came out and were seen of them. Now, we believe that this resurrection that we're beginning to partake of will be a universal resurrection. You don't have to be in Jeffersonville or New Albany or Tucson or Zimbabwe or any specific place. It'll be a universal rapture. But they knew by revelation that Job had seen the resurrection taking place there when Jesus died on Calvary. And so they wanted to make sure, don't leave me out here where I have to wait for the dead in Christ to rise again, or until I have to wait for the white throne judgment to be raised up. But you take me there where Job said he saw his Redeemer standing on the earth and that he would see him with his own eyes. You take me back to that place and bury me. Oh, thank God for revelation. So they took the bones of Joseph back. Verse 21, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Brother Bram says again in The Power of Decision, 1955, he says, he led them in the natural. He's leading us today in the spiritual. And the same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel, here he is leading us. Amen. Here he is leading us. The same one, the same pillar of fire leading us on, the supernatural light of God moving on, leading the church spiritually. Now, in the days of Israel, they went out with the mighty hand, and they would go, as we've referred to it many times before, they would be protected by this cloud and pillar of fire. We had them in our day as well. Many make fun of them and laugh, but they didn't have, you know, when they got there and they began to tell their children about it after the men had died off in the 40 years of wandering, and their great, 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 great grandchildren, they would begin to retell this story all the way down to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. The Saint Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost and begins to describe this story of the coming out of the children of Israel and the pillar of fire and all these different things, and they could stand there and say, Peter, but do you have any scientific proof of that? I mean, have you got a picture? Have you got a sketch? Have you got any scientific way? Is there anybody that survived this long to tell us about it? And he didn't have any scientific proof, but yet he believed it with all of his heart. And yet in our day, we have scientific proof. We have photographic evidence of the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and I believe it's the same cloud and the same pillar of fire that followed them back then. And yet, even with that, people still walk away and won't believe it, and yet they think they would have believed in the days of Peter. Not a chance. Amen. Not a chance. He didn't have a Polaroid. He didn't have an 8mm camera. He didn't have any proof, but he had faith. Amen. He had revelation. Amen. And so just as this same pillar of fire would lead them about from place to place, and if it was 2 in the morning and the pillar of fire stopped, the whole congregation stopped. Physically, it was leading them physically, geographically. And if the pillar of fire moved and it was 5 in the morning, there was a watchman that was set, and he began to get up and say, the pillar of fire is moving, and they broke camp and they would follow the pillar of fire. Oh, I wish it would just be that simple with us tonight, that when the pillar of fire moved, we could just follow it that easily. And when the paragraph stops, or the tape stops, or when the sentence stops, you know, we don't try to add all of our figuring it out and all of our ideas and injecting, I think it's going to be this way. No, that's where the pillar of fire stopped. So you can just stop right there too. We don't need some man's interpretation. We don't need some explanation. When the pillar of fire stops, that's where I want to stop. And when the pillar of fire goes, I want to go with it. I don't want to stay back here with what we had in Pentecost or Methodist or Baptist or whatever it is. If the pillar of fire went further than that, I want to keep going right along as far as the pillar of fire goes. And then I want to stop where it stops and not add, well, Nathan feels it'll be this way. And Brother so-and-so, he thinks that the rapture is going to be this way. And I heard Sister so-and-so say that Sister Branham said, that Brother Branham said, that Brother so-and-so said, that this one said, that this was going to be that way. And all these ideas and explanations. No, when the pillar of fire stops, that's where I stop. People have tried to convince me of all kinds of different things that aren't on tape. And you know what I tell them? I say, if God wanted me to understand that and accept that and believe that, it would have been on tape, because he told me to say what the tapes say. He didn't say what Brother so-and-so explained it to be, or say what Sister so-and-so said she had in her sweet little dream. same, or say what this one said, or that one said, or how this one explains it, or fifth hand down how that one said. But he told me, stop where the pillar of fire stops. I've got confidence in it tonight. If I can see it plainly in the scripture and the message, I can lay my eternal life on it and say, I believe it. Maybe don't understand it all, but I believe it. I accept it. That's the way it is. But when we add all these other things of, well, so-and-so, they're pretty spiritual, and they think it's going to be this way. And sister so-and-so, you know, she had these series of dreams, and they seemed really, really nice. And, oh, that's wonderful, but I'm not going to lay my eternal destination on somebody's opinion or somebody's doctrine or somebody's idea. But when, as long as it's on those tapes, I can lay my eternal destination on it. Because I'm not obligated to that. He's obligated to that. He's obligated to his own word. This wasn't just the words of a man. Brother Branham said in one place, he said, you're not feeding on the words of a man. But he said, you're feeding on the body word of the Son of Man. The unfailing body word of the Son of Man. That's just how I believe it. That's just simple for me. That's enough for me. I don't need somebody to break it down and say, now let me explain to you what he meant by that, and let me inject all of this other around it. When he said it, it's just simple for me to believe it. You know, he wasn't some great theologian that we have to take his words down and break them down to understand what they meant. But he spoke to us in Kentucky English in a way that even the poor, even the illiterate could understand it. I didn't have to get a college education to understand what he was talking about. I'm thankful I didn't have to go to school for 7 years and study Greek to understand what he meant. But the common people heard him gladly. Amen. The common people heard him gladly. The pillar of fire would lead them, and then it would stop in the natural. It would go ahead and move. And they would move with it. Brother Bram says, the same pillar of fire that led Israel, here he is leading us. The same one, the same pillar of fire leading us on, the supernatural light of God moving on, leading the church spiritually. May we have enough wisdom as they did. No doubt there was many times at 3 a.m. when the pillar of fire moved, they didn't feel like moving with it. Maybe there was a lot of times, you know, when it was a beautiful day and oh my, this is going to be a great day for traveling. The temperature is mild and there's no sandstorm and you know, it's a perfect time of day and my, there's a nice cool breeze. Oh, I hope we're traveling today. And wouldn't you know it, the pillar of fire stopped right there. Of all the days to stop when we could be traveling. But he knew that there was something. Maybe there was a Philistine garrison that was going to be marching through that area the next few miles. Maybe there were some Amalekites laying in ambush. And yet when that downpour of rain came that they didn't want to march in, the Amalekites had given up and ran off, and they had plenty of room just to walk right through. And maybe they didn't understand. And as we know, they murmured and complained all the way. But God knew what he was doing. And they just got in there and followed the pillar of fire. And we grumble and complain about them. Why on earth would they do the things that they do? And then when God tries to lead us around by his word spiritually today, we do the same things. And oh, why have I got to do this? And why can't I do that? And Lord, why on earth would you lead me to do this? It's so embarrassing. And you know, people don't understand. And people are making fun of me and hurting my little feelings. And oh my, we grumble and complain. But if we could just keep our mouths shut and just let him do the leading and follow the pillar of fire today, we'd be a lot better off. Exodus chapter 14, verse 5. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? Now, you would think they had had enough by now. These men have seen their rivers turn to blood. They've seen sticks turn to snakes. They've seen frogs come out of the waters in abundance to where Brother Ram said they were about 7 feet high in places. They've seen lice. They've seen flies where there were none. They've seen hail and brimstone. They've seen their cattle die of plagues. They've seen boils on their bodies. They've seen all kinds of things. They've seen darkness to where they couldn't see their hand in front of their face for days. Their firstborn of all the land has died. And finally, they had enough sense to let him go. And now God begins to harden their heart again. They say, why on earth have we done what we did? Why did we let him go? Why on earth didn't you let him go 9 plagues ago? While you still had some crops and animals and children and housing and things left. Can you imagine the houses that the hail and fire and brimstone destroyed, and all their property and all their animals and all their health and all these things that was taken from them? And they say, why on earth did we let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. Verse 10, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? Now, I don't remember reading that verse in our Bible studies. I remember them crying for God to send a deliverer, weeping and wailing and their backs lashed and burdened and blistered. And I remember that, but I don't remember the verse that said, let us alone so that we can serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now, they have a vindicated prophet that's spoken flies into existence. He's spoken fleas into existence. The death angel has came through and killed all of Pharaoh's army, all their firstborn, has killed all of their cattle, all of their firstborn, all the people in the dungeon, their firstborn, all of the servants, their firstborn, all of Pharaoh's family, their firstborn, the sheep, the oxen, all the firstborn died, but yet they can look around even at the Red Sea and see all of their eldest children, all of their eldest animals, all of their eldest relatives and aunts and uncles and the firstborn from every generation of the children of Israel that was still alive, present there. And they could look around and see these firstborn. They had seen miracle after miracle, plague after plague. And yet the first little trial comes. God said, I'm not going to let them go through the land of the Philistines because they're not ready for that trial. But now the first trial that they come up against, and they say, why didn't you just, wasn't there any graves for us to die in back in Egypt? And why didn't you just leave us alone? And all the taskmasters, you know, we were so happy back there, serving in bondage. We were so happy, you know, with our cigarette smoking, short wearing, alcohol drinking pastors. And we were so happy back there with our pornography and our drug addiction and our nicotine addiction. And we were so happy back there with, well, why don't you go on back if you were happy with those things? If you'd rather serve the taskmaster than serve God, if you'd rather be in bondage than be delivered, then why don't you go on back to Egypt? But as for me, I don't care much for garlic or leeks or stripes on my back or working for free. I'm not a big fan of any of those things. So I'd rather take the way with the Lord's despised few. Verse 13, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let me just stop here tonight and let's break it down to today. Don't let this be hundreds of years before Christ. Don't let this be to just a group of children wandering in the wilderness. Don't let this be to some Israelites back in days gone by. But let it be to you tonight that whatever you're facing, maybe financial troubles has struck your home. Maybe spiritual troubles has struck. Maybe there's addiction in one of your family members. Maybe somebody has ran off and left the message. Maybe you've got physical problems in your home. Maybe disease has struck your home. Maybe Satan is trying to fight you mentally and depress you or discourage you or attack you in ways that you never thought that he would, and you don't know if you can hold it together. But let me just tell you tonight, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You say, well, I can't do it on my own. Well, he didn't ask you to. He never asked you to do it on your own. In fact, he promised that he'd never leave you or forsake you. The problem is we try to do it ourselves. We're going to go save our cousins ourselves, and we're going to go get ourselves out of financial trouble, and we're going to go get ourselves healed, and we're going to go do this, and we're going to go do that. And we turn to every remedy and every option and loan money off of everybody we can think of, and we go to every physician we can think of. That's all right. Brother Branham encouraged us to go to physicians, but many times we do all of that before we ever take it to the great physician. And then when we get desperate enough, we think, okay, well, all right, Lord, I guess you're my only hope. He should have been your first hope. Amen. He should have been your first option, your first place that you turn to. But no, you'll go to everybody else and get their opinions, and you'll go to this one, you'll go to that one. Oh, what should I do? Where should I go? How should I go about this? Have you asked him about it? I think from now on, when somebody goes and ask me for counseling, and don't get me wrong when I say these things, I think some people feel like I discourage counseling. I'm happy to counsel you anytime, night or day, when you need help. If you've got family troubles or decisions you need to make, I'd be happy to give any little bit of wisdom that God can give me to counsel you. But don't come to me if you haven't talked to him about it first.
Come on. Amen.
Don't come to me, don't come to your uncle, don't come to brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or some, you know, rich person in your family or somebody in your church that you feel is spiritual or whatever it be. Don't bypass God and go to them first.
Amen.
Take it to him first, and then that's fine to get opinions. It's fine to get counseling. It's fine to get help anywhere help can be given. It's fine to go to physicians and doctors. I'm not discouraging any of that, but let's not bypass the great physician tonight.
Amen.
Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Moses didn't tell them, now I want you to start making barricades. I want you to dig into the sand here, and I want you to get spears and swords, and I want you to brace them up so that when their army comes, I'm going to have a great military strategy here, and we're going to, when they get close enough, you're going to raise up out of the sand and spear that first line, and then the second line will be tripped by that line, then we're going to go in and fight the third line. He didn't give them a military plan. He didn't give them military tactics or spiritual formulas, or he didn't give them some great list of things to do, but he just said, stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We get worked up so many times and upset. How are we going to handle this, and how are we going to handle that, and what can we do about this, and what can we do about that? When many times, if we would just give God a few minutes and not pull all our hair out and get so stressed out that we, you know, begin to worry and get distressed and give ourselves an ulcer. But just give God a few minutes. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. Oh, I like that. That addiction that you've been facing, stand still and see the salvation of God. And that thing that's been bothering you for years, you'll see it again no more forever. That trial that you've been beating your head up against the wall, and maybe a financial problem you can't figure out, or maybe a health issue that you've been going through and you can't figure out what's causing it, just give it to God tonight. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Just put it away. Don't even worry about it anymore. Why, Moses? Because the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. He didn't ask them to get their armor on. He didn't ask them to memorize 5,000 quotes so they could quote like a machine gun. He didn't say, now I want you to memorize the Torah, and I want you to go back and memorize this, and I want you to go memorize that, and I want you to make all kinds of preparations. I know the Torah wasn't written, just for any of you that are going to correct me after service. I'm just dramatizing tonight. He hadn't written it yet. But he didn't say they had to memorize a bunch of things. He didn't say they got to do a bunch of works. If you can just live holy enough for 2 weeks, maybe God can do something for you. If you can live squeaky clean for 17 hours and not sin once, maybe God will do something for you. He just said, hold your peace. Just get quiet before the Lord. Don't get worked up. Don't get your own thought into it. Don't get your own plan together. You just stand still. Hold your peace. The Lord's going to fight for you. Many times we forget who's fighting the battle. We think it's us that's fighting it, but it's not our battle. Victory Day 1963, I like the way Brother Branham says this. He said, God lets disappointments happen to show victory. Now, doesn't that seem like a strange way to do things? He lets a disappointment happen to show victory. He said, oh, if we could only see that. See, you'd only see that these things that seems to be so burring to you and upsetting to you, they are trials. They are things to stand still. Focus your glasses on the word of God.
Amen.
And speak the word.
Amen.
And then just walk forward. That's all there is to do.
Glory.
That's all there is to do it, he said. You mean I don't have to come up with a backup plan? Hey, this is the only backup plan I need. I don't need Nathan Bryant's backup plan or your backup plan or somebody else's idea. The word of God is sharp, it's quick, it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And if we can just focus our eyes on this, focus our eyes on the written word, focus it on the revealed word that's been given in our day. If we could just focus our glasses on that, then all the disappointments that happen, they wouldn't seem so bad. All the discouragement that comes along, we could recognize, you know what? I can either get down in the dumps and get so depressed that I can't hardly go to church, and I can't hardly go to work, and I can't hardly go to school, and I can't hardly fellowship with anybody. I hope I'm preaching to somebody tonight. And I can get so discouraged, I just want to hide myself in a hole somewhere, or I can recognize that all of these things taking place in my life, all of the discouragements, all of the disappointments, it's just an opportunity for God to show victory.
Amen.
It's just an opportunity for God to show victory, for God to let me recognize that, you know, Brother Bram said that God is a God that has a law of contrast. And if we weren't ever sick, we couldn't appreciate those healthy days. You know, everybody, this time of year, fall's beginning to take place, and sinuses and things begin to start, and allergies, and if you know, you begin to where you can't hardly breathe, and then one day, all of a sudden, those nostrils clear up, and you can breathe again, and your eyes aren't watering all day, and your ear opens up, and you can hear again, and you think, oh my, I almost forgot what it was like to hear out of both ears, and I almost forgot what it was like to breathe out of both nostrils. And maybe a month before that, you didn't really appreciate breathing out of both nostrils very much, and you didn't really appreciate hearing out of both ears that much, and going through a whole day without going through a box of tissues. But now you recognize there's something different. I feel so much better. I have so much strength. And maybe there's times when, you know, we go through different weather and different things like that. But if we didn't have these rainy, dark, nasty days or snowy days or whatever it would be, you could never appreciate a nice, beautiful, sunshiny day without a cloud in the sky. God's a God of contrast. We can't appreciate the good if there isn't some bad. Brother Bram said we couldn't appreciate a good Christian woman if there wasn't a bad woman, a moral woman to compare her to. And you brothers can look around at your wives tonight, and maybe you had a fight on the way to church and you weren't hardly speaking to her on the way in. But why don't you look over at her tonight and recognize that you could have had some Jezebel down at your work that would run around and cheat on you and just give you grief and try to get you in a divorce so she could take half of your money. And you could have been stuck with that, and God had enough grace and mercy to give her to you. Maybe you ought to be a little bit kinder and gentler and more patient. Oh my, I'm going to hear this on replay when I get home, Brother Hoover. Over and over and over, a little audio blurb. Kinder, patient, gentler. Kinder, patient, gentler. That's all right though, it's the truth. Oh my, what a mess we could have been in. But God gave us good wives. But if everybody was like that, I won't point out any individual sister, I could tonight, but if everybody was a sister so-and-so that was a good, clean, holy living wife that raised her children in the admonishment of God and took care of her husband and was a helpmate to him instead of a hindrance to him, and did all that she could to support him with her words and with her kindness and with her food. And my, if there's any way to a man's heart, we know it's food. And if she did all those things, and if everybody was like that, we would just think, so what? Everybody does that. But you look around at a few of these Jezebels out here, you say, you shouldn't call them Jezebels. Well, the prophet did. I'm not just talking about Brother Branham. There was a Jezebel in Elijah's days too. He called her dog meat. Said they're going to feed her to the dogs. They say, oh, you shouldn't say things like that today. Oh, yeah, we should. I don't believe in watering down the word. There's something about it. Can you imagine if you was real sick and you needed some type of a herb or a prescription or whatever it would be, and the doctor, when he gave it to you, it was in liquid form, and he said, charge him the same price, but only give them about 10% of that and fill the rest of it up with water. Shake it up real good, water it down. They'll never know any difference. And it took you about 10 times longer to get better. And you knew there was something about it. It seemed weak and it didn't taste right. But he said, just water it down a little bit. They'll accept it better. It won't taste as bitter. It'll be easier for them to swallow. You wouldn't want that very much. But when a man of God gets up, or when a tape gets played, and you know, your toes begin to get stepped on a little bit, why is it that people say, "Oh, you should maybe you should have phrased that a little different, or maybe you should have been a little easier, maybe you should have been a little bit this or that"? I don't believe in watering it down. It may be a little bit bitter, it may be a little hard to swallow sometimes, but just give me the full word. I don't want a watered down version. God lets disappointments happen, he said, to show victory. We get to a time we say, "God, I don't know what to do. I'm up against it." He said, "Speak the word, Lord, I believe," and just start walking forward. God does the opening of the sea. You just keep walking. You see, the people didn't have to build a bunch of barricades. They didn't have to get a bunch of fiberglass and figure out a way to slide it in across the depths of the sea and make a way where they could march through with it walled up on either side. They didn't have to come up with any way of building it or doing it or build a boat to cross it. They didn't have to worry about crossing the Red Sea or opening the Red Sea. All they had to do was just keep walking forward. You just keep walking forward. But Moses, what if you see how high those waves are? What if they fall in? Just keep walking forward. Amen. But brother so-and-so said this is going to take place. And sister so-and-so said this. You just keep walking forward.
Amen.
Exodus chapter 14, verse 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, I like this. The Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak. Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." Why are you crying unto me? I've already vindicated you. I've already given you my word. Why are you crying? Just speak and go forward.
Amen.
Oh, you got trouble tonight? Speak and go forward. Not your own words, not your own ideas, not some great workup or something like that. But take the word of God tonight. Whatever your need is, you find a scripture or a promise or a quote. And you read that in the ears of the devil, and you say, "Devil, you can do what you want. You can say what you want. You can huff and you can puff, but it's not my words. It's God's words, and I'm just speaking them audibly because the prophet said St. Paul said that Jesus is a high priest of our confession, and then another prophet came in our day and said that word profess and confess, it's the same word, and that he's a high priest of our confession, and he went on to say that if whatever we say, that God would make our body obey our confession, and so I'm just going to read this audibly for my subconscious and for the devil to hear, and then I'm just going to lay that down and I'm going to walk forward and I'm going to accept what the word says. I'm not going to accept what the devil says, what his lie is, what his boast is, but I'm going to take God at his word tonight because his word already said it, so I'm not going to cry and worry and beat my head up against the wall anymore, but I'm going to take the word of God and I'm going to speak that word and I'm going to walk forward because that's all that he required me to do. He didn't require me to manifest it and work it up and work myself up into something. He just said, "Speak and go forward." "He that is in you," 1963. Brother Branham said when he come to the Red Sea and it was in his way, God said, "Speak to the sea." And Moses spoke to the sea. "And greater is he that was in Moses than the sea was itself." Is that right? Oh my. He said, now you see, greater was he that was in Moses than he that's in the world. Greater is he that's in Moses than any nature there is in the world. He commanded nature, and whatever God told him to say, he said it, and that's the way it is. That same God, he said, he doesn't just put it back off in Moses' day somewhere, but he said that same God is with us tonight, not only with us, but in us. He's proved he was in us. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Again, why Christ speak? He says, now the Holy Spirit has one message. Now the devil has all kinds of messages. He has all kinds of lies. He has all kinds of discouragements. He has all kinds of dirt and history on you that he likes to dig up and throw in your face. He has all kinds of messages that he would like to give you tonight. But Brother Branham says the Holy Spirit has one message. Speak the word, go forward. He said, that's right. Don't cry to me. There's the word. Speak it, move forward. Thus saith the Lord, he says. Thus saith the Lord. That's the message of the Holy Ghost. Oh, but I brother so-and-so says I got to do this. And sister so-and-so said my works have to be this. And then I have to follow this chart that they've laid out. And I've got to put all these things over here and do all this over there. And you know, some theologian explained it this way. I don't care what some theologian said. I don't care what your lawyer said. I don't care what Sister Susie said. Hopefully there's not a Sister Susie here tonight. But or your cousin or your uncle or your aunt or your grandpappy, no matter how well-intentioned they were, the Holy Spirit's message to you tonight is speak the word and go forward.
Amen.
Not somebody's idea of it, not somebody's watered-down version of it, but you speak the word and go forward. He said, thus saith the Lord. That's the message of the Holy Ghost. Exodus chapter 14, verse 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it became between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. Now I want you to notice, he had been in front of them, leading them. He had been in front of them being their guide, and they were following him each step of the time, and he had been in the forefront as a guide. But now he's not only their guide, but now he's their protector as well.
Amen.
And he doesn't just go before them to shine the path, but now he comes between them in danger. He comes between them in harm. He comes between them in trouble and the lies of the devil and all the hypocrisy and all the things that would go on around them. And he comes in and stands between them and the evil that would try to pursue them. He stands between them and the sickness that would try to take their life, or the lies that would try to pull them away from the message, or the discouragement that would try to get them deep into depression or whatever it would be. And he comes around and he's a hedge between them and the enemy that's trying to pursue them. I hope you can recognize tonight, that's not just a story for the children of Israel somewhere, but that same pillar of fire is with God's people tonight. And he's not only a guide to lead us, that's wonderful, I thank him for it, but he's also a protector in the time of trouble. He's our comforter in the time of storm. He's our deliverer in the times that we need to be delivered. He's everything. He's everything you have need of tonight. You don't have to depend on me or any of these other brothers. We appreciate them. We believe God uses men. I know that's not popular today. I still believe God uses men. Brother Bram said he always has and he always will. So you can argue with him. Don't argue with me. He said as long as God's calling, the apostolic age hasn't ceased. So I appreciate God using men. But you don't have to just depend on a man. In fact, Brother Bram said, if you're depending on anything but Jesus Christ, then you're lost. If you're depending on Church of the Open Door or the Catholic Church or any of these other churches out here, he said, you're lost. He said, but if you're depending on Jesus Christ, so you don't have to depend on Brother Nathan for your salvation. You don't have to depend on Brother so-and-so. You don't have to depend on Brother Hoover. As much as I appreciate Brother Hoover, I'm not looking to him for my salvation. I look to him for encouragement. I look to him for advice sometimes. I look to him for, you know, just a good spiritual uplift or you know, when I'm feeling down, him or Brother Layton to tell something to make me laugh. You know, I look to them for those things, but I'm not looking to him for my salvation. I'm not depending on any man for my salvation but the man Christ Jesus.
Yes.
And he's everything that we have need of. He's our comforter. And at times when nobody else can comfort, he's our deliverer. And at times where it seems like there is no deliverance that can be had, but then he comes right over and stands between you in trouble. And he's not just a guide, but he's a protector.
Amen.
I'm thankful for it tonight.
Right.
Oh my, and Moses, verse 21, stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Now, not only did he divide the waters, but he dried it out where they could walk across on dry land.
Right.
I don't know if you've ever walked around in a sea or a lake or a pond or anything like that, but you try to cross that thing even if they sucked all the water out of it, and you'd be about waist deep in mud before you got started. But he didn't just move the sea back, he dried the land too. When God makes a way, he does it right. When God does anything, he doesn't do it halfway. He does it right. And now this pillar of fire goes behind them, and the cloud is between them and Egypt, and it's darkness to Egypt, but now the pillar of fire is still shining light where they can walk on through the darkness. Right through the middle of night, right through the middle of the darkest part of Laodicea, the bride keeps walking right on because she's looking to a light that's been shown in this age by a pillar of fire, by a vindicated ministry of the Son of Man working through a man in this age. She can still look and see light in the middle of complete darkness. Amen. When everybody else is going out into complete insanity and complete and total spiritual darkness, yet the bride of Jesus Christ keeps walking on. How can you do it? Because the light's been shown in our path. Amen. Oh my. Verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right, on their left, and the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked upon under the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Now they begin to get a revelation that God begins to look down through the pillar of fire. Brother Bram said it in one place. He said God looked at that sea with angry eyes and it began to part. Now he's not looking at the sea, but he's looking at the enemy that's pursuing his children. And he looks down through the pillar of fire with angry eyes, and he literally takes the wheels off. The wheels just begin to fall off their chariots, and all their plans and all their persecution and all their websites and all their ideas and all their persecution and torment and their political moves and whatever it will be. God just takes the wheels off right there in the middle of the sea. Terrible place to have your wheels fall off. And they say, this is God fighting for Israel against us. This is a problem. They begin to get worried. God looked down through there. Brother Bram says it this way in Revelation's Book of Symbols, 1956. He says, Moses turned his face to God and he began to pray. That pillar of fire came down, stood between them and the danger. Darkness to them. He said, if you refuse light, it'll turn to darkness every time. And it was darkness to them, but it was marching orders to these to go on. And when they got to the sea opened up. A great east wind coming from the very direction they was going over the top of the heads of Pharaoh come down and scooted back the sea, and the sea got scared because God ordained a path through the thing. God showing his love to his children. He likes to get you in a tight place sometimes just so he can manifest himself.
Amen.
So he can just manifest himself. He lets us sometimes get in a tight spot and we wonder, Lord, I don't know where the next meal's coming from. I don't know where the next dollar's coming from. The doctor says I got this. The doctor says I've got that. This one says this and this one says that. And we begin to worry and get upset and we begin to seek God, and the situation just turn around. You say, how on earth? How on earth did it happen? I could stand here tonight if time wasn't getting away from me and share testimony after testimony of different ones that have called or texted for prayer recently in situations where they didn't know what was going to take place or what was going to happen. And within minutes, not within weeks or months or years, within minutes the situation turned around. Why? Because of me? No, because of him.
Amen.
Because God still sometimes allows us to get into a place where he can manifest himself. And maybe you're in a position tonight that you're in trouble. Maybe you don't know what you're going to do or where you're going to turn. I can tell you where to turn to tonight.
Amen.
Not to me, not to Brother Layton, not to all these other brothers, although that's wonderful, but turn to him one time. Turn to Jesus one time and just seek him and say, God, I've done all I can. I don't know what to do. I don't know what I'm going to do or where I'm going to go. And you just see him manifest himself. You see him begin to look down through the pillar of fire and get angry at that situation. Maybe it's a boss at work that's got it in for you and they're trying to do everything they can to torment you. Or maybe it's a bully at your school that's trying to do everything they can to upset you and get you in trouble and do everything you can. Maybe it's somebody in your family that keeps trying to cause trouble and trying to stir up everything they can and get the rest of the family turned against you. I don't know what it is tonight, but whatever your situation is, why don't you let him look down through that pillar of fire and get angry at your situation tonight? Why don't you give it to him and let himself manifest himself to where the wheels just begin to come off of their plans? Verse 26, the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. And you've got one group that's standing on the banks with a total deliverance. And you've got one group that's at the bottom of a sea with total destruction. Yes. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand, on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses.
Amen.
It didn't just restore their confidence in God, but when they saw him move on the scene just the way that his prophet had said he would, it restored their confidence in his prophet as well.
Amen.
They believed on the Lord and his servant Moses. Here they were in the midst of storm, in the midst of peril, in the midst of what looked like utter destruction was going to take place. And they were facing the greatest military power that had been on the face of the earth. And here they come with chariots and horses. And here they are out there with maybe rakes and shovels and women and children and sheep and goats. And here this great military force begins to come up against them. And their back is up against the Red Sea. And it seems like there's absolutely nowhere for them to turn. Nowhere for them to go. I don't know what your predicament is tonight or what your specific circumstance is. I hope the Holy Spirit has used this to speak to you in your circumstance tonight. But I don't think any one of us is in a predicament quite like they were in as the chariots begin to draw closer and nothing but sea behind them, knowing they couldn't take their women and their children across that without boats or without any way. But God came on the scene and he made a way where there wasn't any way.
Amen.
Brother Bram says it this way. I don't have the quote in front of me, but I can find it for you if you'd like. He said, I've seen so many times in my life where he said I would get to a spot where I would come to a place where I couldn't find any way over it or around it or under it. And he said, I'd just give it to God and he would take me right through the middle of it. He still works that way tonight. We don't always understand. We don't always have a map charted out of the entire journey. Neither did Moses. Neither did the children of Israel. But I do know tonight that he's able to take you through victorious. Not just take you through. Brother Bram said he didn't say he would just push us through one end of the pipe and pull us out the other end and say, blessed is he that overcometh. He said that wouldn't be victorious. But he would give you the strength that you need to. And he would open up the doors and the paths and the windows or whatever it takes to get you through. He would open up a way and he would lead you and guide you one step at a time. And he would shine enough light for you to see, Lord, where do I go? Where do I step? And maybe only show you a step at a time. But you let him do the leading and the guiding. I'd rather follow him one step at a time than follow the devil down the brightest lit path that I could see to the end of.
Amen.
I'd rather just follow Jesus and commit it to him. Maybe you've got needs tonight. If the musicians would come. Maybe you've got circumstances that you're facing. Just speak the word tonight and move forward. Keep walking forward. Walk in the light. Say that's so simple, Brother Nathan. It's got to be. There's got to be more to it than that. No. He said the message of the Holy Spirit tonight is speak the word and move forward. Amen. God bless you. Let's sing this together tonight. Keep deep. Help me sing this tonight. If anyone else needs prayer, you can come at this time. He's got it all in control. You believe that tonight? He's got it all in control.
He's got it.
He's got it all in. I've put my life in His hand. I've put my life in His hand. So every road I walk on, I'm sure is in His plan. I've put my life in.
sing this together. I believe they can sing this as they walk through the Red Sea. But we've got a couple of prayer requests came in. It says, please pray for Wesley and Sharon Bleka for guidance. And also, Brother Joel wants to share this testimony. It says, some time ago I was diagnosed with hepatitis B, and the testimony was read of my healing. Today I had my last follow-up appointment and labs. Not only did the Lord confirm again my complete healing, but it also showed that I'm completely immune to the virus and can never contract it again. Amen. Amen. When God does something, He does it right. He doesn't just make a way through the Red Sea, but He dries it out for you too. He's still that same God tonight. He's still Jehovah Jireh. Amen. I know there's many needs that came forward tonight. Maybe many of you with the uplifted hand earlier represented yours in the prayer. He's still God tonight. Let's agree together for this situation, for guidance, for Brother Wesley and Sister Sharon Burlett. Let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as this prayer request was given, Lord, spoken, I just ask that You would move on the scene. Maybe there were others that lifted up their hands, Lord, when they requested prayer earlier, unspoken, Father, but maybe they're seeking guidance in their life. Maybe they're looking for jobs or homes or trying to decide what to do for their children, for their school, or for their health. So many different decisions, Lord, that we face. Lord, as believers, as parents, as husbands, as wives, Lord, we ask for guidance tonight. Lord, may we not go down our own path or the way of our own choosing. Lord, but may You give each one guidance tonight in the situations they're facing. Give them wisdom. Give them strength for the journey. Lord, be with this family that requests prayer tonight, Lord. May You give them guidance that they're looking for. May You guide their footsteps, guide their paths. Lord, may You confirm to them, Lord, as only You can do, Lord, with those little nudges of the Holy Spirit, Lord, just give them confirmation that they're walking in Your will. Lord, for each of us tonight, as we go to make decisions, whatever it would be, Father, Lord, may You just give us little nudges to know that we're walking in Your path, that we're doing what You would have us to do, Father. We thank You for the testimony of Your healing power. We know that if You're able to do that, Father, oh, as Your prophet said, if we could just get the people to believe Him. Oh, I believe You're still the same God tonight. You told Him if He could just get the people to believe Him, that nothing would stand in His way, not even cancer. Lord, You know my heart tonight. I'm not trying to get a group of people to follow me or to follow my ideas or my thoughts. I'm not trying to get them to believe me or have supreme confidence in me, Father, because we don't look to any man. Lord, because men will fail us even if they don't intend to. But Lord, I'm trying to get them to have confidence in this message that You sent in this age. We believe it's a pure word. I still believe it's the same tonight, Father. If we can just get the people to believe Him, to believe that vindicated prophet and what he said, that there's power in this message that You sent, there's power in Your Spirit that You send to manifest it, that not cancer, not any disease, not any sickness can stand in its way. Lord, for these that came forward tonight with physical needs, we rebuke those in the name of Jesus Christ. Those physical things that Satan would try to fight with, those demons of physical torment. Brother Branham called it demonology in the physical realm. We rebuke those enemies of darkness from Your children tonight, Father. If You're able to heal hepatitis, if You're able to heal leukemia, if You're able to heal all these different needs, Father, we know that You're still God tonight. And You can move on the scene for these needs. Lord, for those that came forward for other things in their life, Father, may You lead, may You guide, may You open doors. Lord, may You manifest Yourself in the time of trouble. May You reveal to us that You're just trying to give us a victory. Even though the trial looks dark and even though the way looks dim sometimes, Lord, that you shine a path for us to victory if we'll just follow you. Help us tonight, Father, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Oh my, he showed up right in the nick of time for the children of Israel. Sometimes he waits till the last minute. Sometimes, in Lazarus' case, they thought he was 4 days late, but he was right on time. He's right on time still tonight. Oh, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Let's stand and sing it tonight. Oh, I tell you, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, he may not come when you want him to, but he'll be there right on time. Church, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. Oh, let's sing it together tonight. Oh, he.
Oh, he's an
like this as we go. Well, I feel like praising Him. Well, I feel like praising Him. I'm gonna praise Him in the morning. I'm gonna praise Him all day long. I feel like praising Him. Why don't you praise the Lord while you have this chance? Well, I feel